book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowds. When he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came, and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far away from land. Very early in the morning, he came to his disciples walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" They were so frightened they screamed. Just then, Jesus spoke to them, "Be encouraged! It's me! Don't be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, "Lord, rescue me!" Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. Then those in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You must be God's son." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. And let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for the great energy in the room today, for these great kids who show us the enthusiasm they have for following you. And we pray that you would give us that same enthusiasm as we read your word anew. Send your spirit upon us in the name of Christ. Amen. I got to tell you, it was a fantastic week. I had a blast kind of being the MC, and these kids give me so much energy. And for those of you who are parents, I've forgotten how much energy it takes to have children that small, especially 130 of them all at once. It was really exciting. And it's risky being a parent, isn't it? I mean, every day there's stuff that's going on, and you see some of our kids who, I was just talking to the Georges, and they have one kid who's a little cautious and one who will jump off anything anytime. You know, there's risk all the time. And did you know that there was great risk for you to come to church today? Did you realize this? That you almost didn't make it. I had an old preacher friend of mine who used to say, "Remember, Bob, when you stand up to preach on Sunday morning, remember that 2/3 of the people almost didn't come." And I'm going to read you some statistics that will tell you why it's sometimes risky business to just come to worship. First of all, you went to bed last night. That was a dangerous decision. Almost every other day, an American dies falling out of bed. 1 out of every 2 million. These are statistics from the Book of Risks. There is such a thing. Just lying in bed injures 1 out of 400 Americans every year. Headboards collapse, frames give way, and that's not to mention the things you might do in the bed that could get you into trouble. While you were asleep, your risk of dying from leaking natural gas is 1 in 12 million. If you reached for an alarm clock this morning, you had a 1 in 200 or 350,000 chance of being electrocuted. When you got out of bed, you had a 1 in 20,000 chance of falling and suffering a skull fracture. Well, then you got up, and that's when the fun really begins. If you went to the bathroom, know that there is a 20% chance that there is infectious bacteria in your water supply. If you're a male and you shaved this morning, you had a 1 in 7,000 chance of cutting yourself to the point that you needed medical attention. That is extreme shaving, my friends. And then there's the toilet. You had a 1 in 65,000 chance of being injured by your toilet. 1 in 65,000 Americans is injured by their toilet each year. The Book of Risks does not tell us how. I will leave that to your imagination. And then you got dressed. You had a 1 in 2,600 chance of being injured by a snap, zipper, or some other part of your clothing. Ouch. Out the door you go. If you drove to church today, the risk of being killed in an auto accident is 1 in 11,000. If you walk to church, your risk of dying from a dog bite is 1 in 20 million, and you had a 1 in 40,000 chance of being injured by a passing car. Aren't you excited that you made it to worship today? Now, here's the thing. Once you are here, You have a 0.0001% chance of something bad happening to you while you are in church. This is a safe place to be. It's why they call it a sanctuary. You're here. I don't think we always recognize the risk it takes in getting here. And even though there's a 0.0001% chance of something bad happening to you here, that doesn't mean that it's not risky just being in here either. I mean, you're in God's presence. And when you're in God's presence, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. Annie Dillard, the great writer and poet, once said that if Christians were serious about worship, they would show up with crash helmets on. Because when God shows up in force, you never know what's going to happen. This is the witness of the scriptures, is it not? That Jesus is always showing up in places where there is an opportunity for risk. That when the disciples follow him, that when people are following God around, they have something happen to them that they can't always explain. And that brings us to the text for this morning, the risky business of walking on water. We set up the context for you. This happens in all four Gospels. There's a variation of this story. In some of the stories, Jesus is walking on water. In some, it's a great storm. The disciples are afraid, and Jesus comes to them and calms the storm. In this particular one, the feeding of the 5,000 has just happened. Jesus had just fed these people amazingly. And in John's gospel, it tells us that at that point, they wanted to make him king by force. Because, I mean, if you can produce that kind of food, people want you to be their leader. But Jesus doesn't hang around after the feeding of the 5,000 to receive congratulations from people as they are departing. No, he goes up into the hills to pray, which is his normal practice, a way of getting away from the crowd and communing with his Father. Meanwhile, he tells the disciples to go to the other side of the lake, and he will meet them there. Now, the Sea of Galilee is probably about 3 miles long and about 1.5 miles wide, so it's a pretty big lake. And they get in the boat, and they're fishermen. This is what they do. They sail around on the water. And it's middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning. They're out there on the lake, and a big wind comes up. Now, I've hiked the Jesus Trail, and we come through one of the places down to the Sea of Galilee, where there's a big valley called the Valley of the Doves, and it kind of acts like a funnel for the wind. And it blows out there onto the sea. And even when it's not stormy, it can be a lot of white caps out there. It's very stormy for a lake its size. And so they're out there on the water, and they're trying to make progress. And it doesn't say that they're afraid. They've been in this kind of thing before. But it says that at 3 o'clock in the morning, they're just not making any headway. The wind is against them. They're rowing the boat, trying to get going, trying to go forward. And that point, as they are getting frustrated and looking out, they see something unusual. They see someone walking to them across the water. This is not an everyday occurrence. And so the first thing that they see and fear is that it's a ghost. And the gospel tells us that they were terrified. You ever been terrified? Had that kind of debilitating fear that just causes you to freeze in your tracks, that haunted house kind of fear, that I'm about to die kind of fear? That's the kind of fear that they had. And that word fear appears a lot in the Bible. In fact, in the Greek, it's the word phobos. That's where we get the word phobia from. It's debilitating. And they're terrified because something is happening out of the ordinary. And this happens a lot in the Bible. Do you notice that every time God's revelation shows up, when there's some kind of miracle or an angel appears, what's the first thing that the angel has to say every time he shows up? Don't be afraid. Hold on. It's all right. I mean, people are losing it when God shows up. That's one kind of fear. And I think it's the kind of fear that we often kind of downplay because we don't see it that often. I mean, we think church is a pretty safe and comfortable place to show up into. We don't really expect God to show up in force, maybe subtly, maybe in our spirits, maybe something cool happens. We see the kids sing, we feel a warm fuzzy. It's a good thing, but we don't expect God to show up in person and blow things up. Do not be afraid. Psalm 111, verse 1, says that that kind of fear of God is healthy. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That we recognize that God is all-powerful, that God is almighty and can do great and mighty things. When we recognize that we have an awesome God, not a domestic one, it's an opportunity for us to remember that God can't make us afraid. But there's a second kind of fear here that I think is at work in this particular passage. And it's the kind of fear that I would call happy terror. Happy terror. You know, there's fear like I'm going to die kind of fear, and then there's like I'm on the roller coaster fear. And I'm about to crest the wave, you know, that kind of fear where you're like, oh man, what's going to happen? And then you jump over the edge and you're screaming the whole time and your hands are in the air and you're giddy with laughter. You can't stand it. You're flying around the thing. Happy terror. I see this in kids. When my kids were little, 4 and 7, I remember, we used to play hide and seek. That was their favorite game. And so they would go hide and I would come to seek them. But I did the typical dad thing because I eventually wanted to find them quickly because naps needed to be taken. So there's this walking around, you know, looking for them. And I would say things like, Dad's coming. He's coming to get you. Where are you? And I could hear them behind the couch, you know, giggling and stuff like that. And finally, it got to the point, and I asked Rob if I could share this. It got to the point where Rob, who was the youngest, Rob just couldn't stand it anymore. And he would finally jump out from behind the couch and go, here I am, Dad, here I am. That's happy terror. Happy terror. The disciples are cowering in the boat. And they have the first kind of fear. But there's one of them that has what I think is more like happy terror. And that's Peter. Because they recognize it's Jesus. And what does Jesus say first? It's me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But Peter goes, hey, Jesus, if that's really you, tell me to come out on the water with you. Happy terror. And Jesus says, come on. And I imagine that moment when Peter steps over the gunwales of the boat and puts his foot down and realizes he's not sinking, defying the laws of physics. This week in VBS, we gave the kids an experience of that. Kathy was leading them through the Bible story, and then at the end of the Bible story, they got to walk on water, and there's a little video we have. I took video of them walking through this stuff, and so they were kind of like, this is weird. And how did they do it? Well, it's cornstarch and water, so it makes kind of this gelatinous stuff that feels like water, but you're able to walk on top of it and leave your footprints on it. And some of the kids are like, I just walked on water. That was awesome. It was only this deep, but they still walked on water. Yeah. Okay, I think we've seen enough. All right, so Peter is standing there on the water. I'm trying to imagine what that was like, looking at Jesus, like, smiling, like, wow, this is cool, man. Woo, I'm on the water. Happy terror. I think that's a metaphor for discipleship, is it not? That happy terror of doing something that's impossible. Jesus said to his disciples in John's gospel, you know, I've done some great things, but you can do even greater things. And Peter was experiencing it right there for a minute. And then Peter remembered who he was and where he was. He began to look at the wind and the waves and the darkness and thought to himself, I can't do this. There's a very thin line between sheer terror and happy terror. And Peter, when he took his eyes off Jesus, went from happy to terrified in very short order. And it says that he began to sink. He took his eyes off the one who had enabled him, empowered him to walk on the water. I think that's what keeps us sometimes from following Jesus with our whole hearts, isn't it? It's easy for us to take our eyes off center, off the one who invites us, and we can begin to find ourselves sinking. I took a youth group once to Mexico to build houses. We built 3 houses in Juarez, Mexico, and on the way back, we spent an overnight in Taos, New Mexico, and I decided it would be great for us to set up a rafting trip on the Rio Grande. And so we had these big rubber rafts, and we go on the rapids, and it was really fun, and then we get to a smooth part of the river. And the guide said, well, if you want to get in the water, just have your life jacket on and point your feet downstream and just stay in the middle of the river. Focus on staying in the middle of the river, and you'll be fine. You'll enjoy it. Well, you know, of course, Taos, New Mexico in July is like the surface of the sun. So I said, I am getting in that water. And so I get in the water, and I'm kicking back with my feet downstream. The water is cool, and I'm leaning back. And I look up, and I see a hawk circling above me. And I am like, this is fantastic. For like 10 minutes. And then I looked up and noticed that I was no longer in the middle of the river, that I was moving toward the right side of the river where there was another set of rapids branching off and I was about to go in it. And it was at that moment that I noticed that it wasn't a hawk that was circling above me, it was a vulture. And so into the rapids I went. Now, I don't know if you've ever been inside a washing machine, but I imagine that that was what it's like. Churned over, turned over, banged against the rocks, upside down, water up my nose, water everywhere. And then the rapid kind of then spits you out on the backside. And I think the guide knew this and spit me back into the river, middle of the river, where they reached over and pulled me up onto the raft. And the guide looked at me, sputtering, and he said to me, he says, you didn't stay in the middle, did you? No, I did not. We are able to do great things when we are focused on the center, when we are focused on Jesus Christ. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus and started to look at the circumstances around him, he realized, I can't do this. I can't do that. And that was exactly the point. He could not do it. Only Jesus could enable him to do it. This week at VBS, we talked a lot about focusing on Jesus. And you heard the kids, they have it down, man. Love, hope, courage, direction. What was the other one? Power. Oh, see, you remember it too. I had a script. He gives us these things, offers us these things, not so that we will be comfortable, but so that we will follow him and risk what's possible for ministry for his kingdom. Now I'm going to take you to another metaphor here. Do you know what the place is called where you all sit in the congregation? The official liturgical term. Some call it the auditorium. Some call it the sanctuary. We always change the names here because we tend to be a little less liturgical, but I like the proper name. So the great room, for example, is properly called the narthex, and this is properly not called the stage. It is called the chancel, and the area where you sit is called the nave, N-A-V-E. And it's called the nave because it's a reflection of an old Christian tradition, and that is of the church as a ship. a ship that goes out into uncharted waters. So if you look at the nave of a traditional sanctuary, you really see this well in cathedrals and other places like that. When you look up, it looks like an upside-down boat. The nave. It's where we get the word navy from. And every week, we gather as the body of Christ inside the boat. But then, in about a half hour from now, we send you out of the boat, just like Peter. The invitation is not to stay in the safety of the boat, but to get out of the boat. That's what the benediction is. That's what one of my professors used to say. It's kicking the people out of the boat to go walk, to follow Jesus, to risk, to take steps of faith, to seek to do that which is beyond your own power, but that can only be done under the power of Christ. One of my mentors, Randy Jessen, who pastors up at Parker UMC, Randy and I worked together years ago, and in staff meetings, we used to come up with great plans for stuff, because that's what you do when you're a staff person. You come up with great plans for stuff, right, Nancy and Lisa back there? You know, we're like always coming up with plans for stuff. And the question was, Randy would always ask us was, well, that's a great plan, but you can do that one without God. He would always ask us this. He would say, but is it scary enough? Is it scary enough that you can't do it on your own and that only Jesus can help you accomplish it? Are you willing to take that step? Then you know you're on to something. And I've never forgotten that. See, when we leave this place, it's easy for us to go about our business. Everything is predictable. We have the order of worship printed in the bulletin. If God shows up at some point in the middle of the service, we might have to tell him to wait because there's not time for that in the service. We might be out there during the week going, you know, we've got stuff to do. My calendar is full. We miss those moments when God is inviting us to something new. We might say that, you know, my life is in a predictable pattern. I have my job. I have my family. I do things the exact same way every time, all the time. But Jesus says, sometimes you got to get out of the boat. I need to take a risk. I don't know what that is for you. I've been thinking about it a lot this week. What is God calling me to that I can't accomplish on my own? Where is my boat? What step of faith? Not leap. Step of faith is he inviting me to that could do great things for him and for his kingdom. We take risks every day, but there is no risk with greater reward than following Jesus. Greater things you will do than even I have done, he says, when we follow him. A little bit, you all will be stepping out of here, going out of the boat. And some of you, hopefully, will hang around and have hot dogs provided by the United Methodist men. But some of you will go out to lunch. That itself is risky. Here's why. Your risk of getting food poisoning depends on the restaurant that you choose. The least risky is Italian, 1 in 1.4 million. The most risky is Mexican, 1 in 136,000, which is about double the risk if you eat at a fast food restaurant, 1 in 440,000. If you're heading to a family barbecue, the risk of food poisoning is about 1 in 388,000. So bon appetit. I have been told, however, that church hot dogs are sanctified, therefore 100% safe. Life is a risk, my friends. Jesus invites us into the risky business of discipleship. Where is he calling you to step out of the boat? Peter began to sink. And when we read the text, sometimes we think to ourselves, oh man, Peter, here's Peter again. Just doesn't get it. I would certainly not be like, Peter, Peter is going down. You know, he just, oh, frustrated. And we read that. Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me? Get up out of there. Get in the boat. I don't know if the Greek is like this, but I suspect it reads more like this. When Jesus picks him up, he says, Peter, you are this close. You were this close to experiencing it all. May we be a people who are willing to go all the way when we step out of this boat to give our faith to the one who can lift us up and help us do even greater things than we could possibly imagine. Amen. And let us pray. Lord God, you invite us all out of the boat. We like it in the boat. It's safe there. We know where things are. We know we're well fed and cared for, sheltered from the storm. But you never called us to comfort and ease. You called us to risk being afraid, to risk what it means to look at you. We remember that you, the risk that you took in coming to be among us in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be a water-walking people. Help us to be faithful in a world where there is much storminess and darkness. Keep us focused on you. And when we sink, lift us up and forgive us and help us to try again. All this we pray in the name of the one who walks on water and who gives us life. Amen.